It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, really good. Hey, this week we are looking at a subject I know you brought up before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was actually used to be a real area of expertise for you, and that was helping people with anger management mm-hmm. issues. And you want to talk about the faces of anger this week.
Yeah, anger, I do talk about that a lot and actually talk about it a lot in counseling because anger just seems to be everywhere. Anger is an emotion that we're always going to have. Everyone has it, has an issue with anger. It's just demonstrated in different ways. But anger is a primary response to danger and any kind of danger, no matter what word we use, I'm not angry, I'm irritated, I'm just a little upset, I'm annoyed. Any word that we use, they all follow the same basic neurological path. Mm. And so the words are really, use whatever word we want. The idea is that this neurological path that's referred to as kind of anger's sort of the umbrella or the overall heading. Any response to danger, no matter what word we use, is a
well. What
same
about all the anger
response.
We've seen in the last 14, 18
oh,
months
boy.
Over the pandemic and all the related stuff and the election? Is that a response to danger there? Or?
Sure.
Big time.
Yeah.
Like never before this pandemic. None of us have ever experienced anything like this before.
And it really demonstrates a couple of things. On the one hand, there are people who are genuinely concerned over their health. And so those are, death and dying issues because actually our, our primary concern is comes from our self-awareness, our awareness of our mortality. And so, we're talking about the pandemic. That's kind of the first thing that comes to mind for a number of people. And I'd say that early on, it was probably, for the most part, genuine fear of concerning health. But you can see how it's become a political thing, and the fear is not so much, will I get sick, will I die from this, but what will people think of me? So this is a danger. It's not really a physical danger. It's a danger to my the perception of myself, and so our brain responds to these types of danger, whether they be physical or metaphysical. Fear and shame is just fundamental in both of those. Let me break that down a little bit. Fear, of course, is pretty obvious. We fear getting sick. Ultimately, as I say, fear has to do with our mortality. I mean, if we had eternal life, would we be concerned about getting sick? Mm. If we had eternal life, would we be concerned about getting old or aging or losing a job? You could always get another one, So that this idea of our mortality is kind of a backdrop of a lot of our fears and concerns, metaphysical fears and concerns too. So I'm talking about, when I say metaphysical, the self. Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth, and that's very closely related to our mortality too.
Mm. Now, why would shame be on the rise, particularly in the last year?
Well, because it has, as insofar as it's that, as John Bradshaw said, that shame is the emotion that reminds us we're mortal. So insofar as it's an internalized message of lack of worth, well, what gives us worth? Well, the thing that challenges our worth is ultimately that we're mortal and we, shame has to do with that question that asked in the Psalms, David asks, what is man that you're mindful of him? What is man? What is the value of man? What is the worth of man? Because I think we intuitively sense that there's a high power, even agnostics and atheists, of course. As the scripture said, it's every man has been given a measure of faith. Every human being has an intuition about a a higher power that we're accountable to. And I think that's probably the root of our shame, our value. Mm. And then, of course, it gets more complicated than that because the pursuit of value, control, and resources, or I often say value, control, and power, that's what I do to divert or kind of escape from concerns of my mortality and my limitations. I'm pursuing value, control, and power. And of course, value, control, and power are also the things that will address shame issues. Message, internalized message of lack of worth has to do with my personal value, my control, and my resources. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can learn tools of management, and people come to anger management counseling and enter anger management seminars and read books about anger management because in order to get tools to do that. But ultimately, it's going to require a paradigm shift because you're not going to be able to build or buy your way out of your mortality. You're not going to be able to build or buy your way out of that sense of the need for value, the need for control, the need for power.
A lot of people who have got criminal problems and court problems are sort of like prescribed anger management courses. If they've been involved in mm-hmm. some kind of violent crime or domestic issue, do those kinds of anger management courses then work?
They don't really work very well. Okay. I've moderated those in the past in the public sector, and it's apparent that a lot of the people that are attending those have attended them repeatedly. Mm. They don't. Someone might. I shouldn't say that they never work at all, because if a person really wants to learn a tool of management and they're in earnest about that, they can learn a tool through that. But I say ultimately, there's going to require a paradigm shift because anger can manifest itself in so many ways. The root is always there. Say, if the anger has to do not so much with the physical harm but metaphysical harm, you know, the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But that isn't true. Names do hurt. They hurt a lot. And, you know, people have pulled out guns and gone to battle on the highway over who's going to be threatened and who's not going to be threatened. Mm-hmm. And that has less to do with physical concern as, how dare you insult me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So people have been shot over parking spots and things like that.
I've seen all kinds of stories like that.
So ultimately, anger shows up in so many different ways, the pursuit of acquisitions, the pursuit of achievements, addictions. One general form of anger behavior could be the need for immediate gratification in many, many different ways. You know, it could be anything from, you know, a narcotic to a cell phone. You know, how many it's just amazing how many you go down the street and just about everybody is on a cell phone or in traffic nowadays. I'll bet that every third car is texting or talking
on the
phone.
Not supposed to be,
but it's just it was in the neighborhood the other day, and some of the new people that have moved in, our neighborhood is changing its face pretty rapidly here as people who've been there for years and years and years moving out. And then sometimes you go through a season where a lot of new people come in. We have a lot of different ethnicities moving in. And so some of the Asian people, Asian gal was coming by with a couple of her sons and small boys, and the boys would spot a flower or a bug, and they would squat down and look at it, and the mother would squat down and start talking to them about these. And the thing that struck me was, and I said to her, I see you don't have a cell phone. And, I complimented her. It's good to see parents teaching instead of talking, because you see everybody on a cell phone. And that's an anger behavior insofar as why am I on that cell phone? Why do I have to be on that cell phone talking to friends, looking on Facebook, texting? So much of that has to do with the sense of I need to feel valued, I need to feel control, I need to feel resources. So even something as subtle as that.
Well, I've heard that even the cell phone was designed to be addictive. I mean, the people, designed it and designed certain games and things, I mean, they are purposely designed to be addictive.
Yeah, and they've certainly turned it into that because you don't even have email on your cell phone without getting bombarded with advertisements of things that... So
you're saying the paradigm shift then is to surrender because ultimately anger is spiritual.
Yeah. And when I say surrender, I've talked to people about surrendering to the laws that govern life. Now, ultimately, if there are laws that govern life, then there is a lawgiver. And so in a way, Christians are on the inside track here because we can recognize as Christians that God is the author of life. God is the giver of the arranger of life and the architect of life. And so when we surrender to the laws that govern life, we're surrendering to God. Some of the laws that govern life, and I won't go into a lot of these, it's not like I've written pages of these, but there are many, and they're so practical. You know, what you reap, you sow. And that's more than just a kind of a poetic phrase. It's fundamental to life. You know, what seeds are sown, and what is grown comes from the nature of that seed. Now, we can't circumvent that principle in life. Proverbs is full of laws that govern life, and they're not just true because Solomon said them. In fact, Solomon said that. Observe those because they're true. So when I say surrender, I'm saying, you know, life is on a particular path, and it happens to be according to God's purpose. And the paradigm shift is realizing that the author of life is the one who arranged life to go in a certain direction. Now, there's a purpose in life. And if I'm at cross purposes, I'm always going to be frustrated, and there will always be these questions of my mortality and my value and my control and my power. So that's what I'm talking about when I say a paradigm shift. It has to be an actual God-centered in a lot of the addiction classes, they say, you know, you need help from a higher power, and that's why they say that, because ultimately that's God. You can't pretend there's a higher power for long.
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about, the paradigm shift. So
that's helping. Well, we're going to continue this discussion after a quick break here. People are interested. Maybe they have anger issues. Maybe they know somebody who's really struggling with anger and don't know how to get it under control. If you'd like to have Daniel help you with that, or your friend, or somebody you know, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, I do a lot of anger management counseling, and the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, and also people contact me through my email address. You'll find that at BibleBasedCounselor.com. And offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
And also a lot on Skype and Zoom and things like that, too. Okay, we'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, and now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland this week, Daniel is talking about the faces of anger, how to have successful anger management. The Bible makes an interesting statement. It says, be angry and sin not.
Yeah, there's some confusion about this. There is an idea out there, and it's pretty pervasive, that there's something there's a kind of a righteous anger. And I think that Christians get themselves in trouble in not understanding these terms. One of the things we need to understand is when the Bible talks about God being wrathful and God's anger, we can't make the mistake of thinking of that as the same as our wrath and our anger, because human wrath and anger is always rooted in fear and shame, always. And, of course, God can't be afraid and God can't be ashamed. So we use those words because these are the closest words we can get to God's response to sin.
So even anger at injustice and seeing someone hurt, that's based in our own fear and shame?
Yeah, because let's say the anger that we have about abortion. And so I have a lot of strong feelings, and so do most Christians, very strong feelings about abortion. And boy, you want to put a stop to it. But there's an element in my anger about abortion, the element of what is the world coming to? What is going to happen? What if this were to go on? And so there's an element of that that is fear-based.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The element of I can't control that. I don't have any control over that. I don't have any resources to stop it. What's the value of life? What's the value of my life? So all of those things kind of, you know, point back to our mortality and our fear of that. So even in our anger over righteous causes and what we call righteous anger, righteous indignation, still has an element of fear. And God does not experience fear because he's not mortal and he's not imperfect and he doesn't experience shame. So we use those terms, but it's dangerous to put God in a box and then give ourselves permission to have these feelings. We have to keep an eye on that. Be angry and sin not, just quickly, that Paul is talking about that in Ephesians 4. And the context of that, he's talking about the behavior of the church and how we should behave toward one another. And interestingly, he's quoting, when he says be angry and sin not, he's quoting David from the fourth Psalm. And David's talking to, he starts off a lot of Psalms, he's talking to God, and then he kind of switches into another voice, and he's speaking to in this psalm, he's talking to his men that fight under him, and apparently they're despising him, because they're evil. And so David is saying to them, and maybe if I could just take a second here and read this, read a part of this quickly, so that it will make a little more sense. But David's saying, he's talking to God, hear me when I call on you, God, my righteousness. And then he's thanking God for blessings. And then he says, oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? He might be speaking prophetically here, almost as the voice of Christ, but how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? And then he drops down and he says that the Lord has established me and he'll hear me when I call on him. And then in verse 4, he says, stand in awe and sin not, commune within your own heart upon your bed and be still. And so Paul is quoting from that when he's saying, be angry and sin not. The emphasis here is not in be angry, but it's don't sin and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And it's more something like, be still before God, consider your ways, and resolve these issues before God. And so it doesn't really have to do with, it's more be in awe and be serious, to take these things serious, than it is to get angry and get upset about something. So read those two passages of Scripture if you have questions about that. I need to move on here. I could go into a lot more depth about it. But so my definition of anger, of course, is anger is a fear and shame-based defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power. And so since fear and shame are at the root of virtually all mental and emotional behavioral issues, these could all fall under that heading of faces of anger.
That's quite a statement. Just about all mental, emotional, and behavioral issues have to do with anger problems.
Yeah, because because so much of our behavior is rooted in our constant need of safety and security, not only physical safety and security, but I want to feel good about myself. You know, think of road rage. There's so much road rage out there, and relatively little of it has to do with truly with safety. Most of it has to do with nobody wants to be insulted. And so there's emotion there, there's behavior, and also when we talk about emotional issues that people come to counseling for, we could go down the list of all the diagnoses, and we could trace every diagnosis back to a root of fear and shame, not feeling valued, not feeling I have control, not feeling I have resources. And so from these things come all kinds of things like obsessive compulsive behaviors and post-traumatic stress disorders and anxiety and depressed moods. A lot of the sexual dysfunction comes from those same things, you know, with the gay lesbian issues. You know, is this not Gay Pride Month or something like that. Mm-hmm. When I hear that gay pride, I immediately think gay shame, because pride is actually a form of shame. Mm-hmm. Not all pride. You can be proud of a child's performance. Maybe that even has a little bit of element of shame. That is, shame is an internalized message of lack of worth. So What is it about my daughter's performance that makes me feel good? You might look and see that there is an element of succeeding through her success, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when they say gay pride, they're not fooling anybody. This is Gay Shame Month. That's what that's about. Mm-hmm. The mental disorders, their emotional behaviors, behavioral issues, all can trace back to that. And so, as I say, in order to sufficiently distract ourselves from the inevitability of these things and from the lack of value and lack of control and et cetera, we pursue those things. There's no behavior then that doesn't amount to some pursuit of value, control, and resources or that. And I talk to people about even the way we dress, the dog we bought, our favorite restaurants. Try to think of something that you do, any kind of behavior, you know, why you chose that watch, why you chose that church. Try to think of anything that you've done that hasn't had anything at all to do with your feeling a personal sense of value, of control. Now, as we're talking about going to church and having control, well, at least I had control of which church I go to. And if I don't like the pastor or some of the people, I can leave. So this is something that I have control over. Think of something that you do or have done in the past that had nothing at all to do with feeling valued, having control, and having a sense of resources. And I'll bet you can't do it. So managing anger is managing life, is what it comes down to. It's a full-on 24. Well, I hope it's not 24/7. I hope we're getting some sleep. But it can be, during my waking hours, I almost cannot have thoughts that pertain to my sense of needing to be valued, needing to have control over something. You wake up in the morning and you're a great Christian and you're going to have your devotion time, and then you're through with that and you step out and you're going to make some coffee, and your husband or wife put the spoon in the wrong drawer. And so there's something right away that, you know, why can't I have control over, why can't things just happen the way they should be? And that quickly, you're back thinking about value, control, and power. So this is an ongoing thing. Life management, anger management is life management, because our entire life is about safety and security. Control your anger. You have to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger, because it usually doesn't. It can look like gratification, pursuing acquisitions, achievement, competition. It's just, as I say, there's like nothing that you can do that doesn't have something to do with that. In my work, what I do is I teach people anger management tools, and those aren't very difficult to learn. Of course, they have to do with not just physical danger, but mostly metaphysical danger about thinking about myself. So teaching them tools to manage anger, that is to say tools to manage life. And just closing, I would say that management of anger is daily. And the daily victory in the is this daily surrender to the purpose of God in your circumstances. So managing anger is a daily thing, and the daily victory in it, because we're never through with it, but the daily victory is in the daily surrender to the purpose of God in your circumstances.
Okay, that's how we deal with those faces of anger. Mainly, we have to surrender to God and His purposes. And sometimes a little easier said than done. And if you need some help with this, or you know somebody who's struggling with anger issues, Daniel would like to help. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the email or the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find something like 7 or 8 years of podcasts and offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, and also doing some Skype counseling, although I hope we're returning to something
of
normal.
We're on the right track, I think, yeah. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind Broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.